With all the crazy things that seem to dominate the headlines, I'm finding that my travels are becoming more and more meaningful to me, whether it's to other countries and cultures or to places in my own country that I haven't explored before. I think it's never been more important for us to travel to meet people and to get to know one another as friends. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. On this special edition of Travel with Rick Steves, we're going to do just that with a few of our favorite guests from over the years. Today, we'll hear from some extraordinary travelers with remarkable stories to share and a gift for showing us the world in a whole new light. We'll hear an interview we recorded with Pico Iyer a few years ago. At the time, he'd just written his book, The Man Within My Head, about the influence writer Graham Greene has had on his own work. Pico explores with us how traveling can surprise us with realities we never considered back home. Ference Mate tells us a story about the difficulties he and his family faced when he was just a boy, which he later admitted was something he'd never really talked about after all those years. They escaped the brutality of the Soviets when they invaded his home country of Hungary back in 1956. As a best-selling author, Ference wrestles with what's really important in our modern age, the wisdom he's learned from his home turf in Tuscany, and sailing. And actress Joanna Lumley reveals why the Gurkhas of Nepal hold a special place in her heart. Let's start by celebrating the intrepid spirit of Hilary Bratt. The company she founded publishes guides to some of the most remote countries on Earth. Not long ago, she was given the high honor by the government of Madagascar for 4 decades of work, promoting what she told us is her favorite island in the world. It actually all started in 1974 when she and her then-husband George sketched up a South American trekking guide while barging on a tributary of the Amazon.
Well, it was complete accident, as some of the best things in life are. George and I were, we were floating down a tributary of the Amazon, and we were crammed into hammocks on deck, and there was really very little to do. And we'd come up a little earlier and said, sort of, really we should be writing about these treks that we're doing, because what we were doing was exploring mountain paths and routes through the mountains. And this was in 1973, and there were absolutely no guidebooks, literally no guidebooks to the mountain regions. There was one, the South American Handbook, which covered the towns. And when we were on this barge, we thought, well, you know, let's get writing. So we wrote up some of the notes we'd taken. And to cut a long story short, we published a guidebook.
Now, that was the little yellow guidebook?
It was a little yellow book, absolutely full of misprints, no maps.
1974.
Pretty bad.
$1.95. And how many of those did you sell?
We published 2,000 copies. And typed it up. Of course, George is dyslexic, so the spelling was pretty bad. And we sold the 2,000 copies. And we thought, hey, you know, this is rather fun. This works. And so we thought we'd do another one.
Hilary, that is so parallel to my career. I was in the 70s. I was on the hippie bus going from Istanbul to Kathmandu. And there was 20 hippies on the bus with a bunch of local people going all the way 4 or 5 days on this bus. And there were no guidebooks. There was a staple-bound thing called the Bit Guide, which is a bunch of British vagabonds that had stapled it together. And everybody was scouring that thing to know how we're going to get across the next border. And it occurred to me, boy, there's a value for guidebooks. And I went home and I typed up my first book, made 2,000 copies just like you. I think I was charging $3.95 instead of $1.95 because I was a few years after you. Ooh. But that was the beginning. And since then, how many different countries have you covered in your publishing company?
Well, now as a publisher, it's over 200 titles.
What are some of the destinations that you and your publishing company have decided to cover that have the most minuscule markets that other publishers would never dare to go?
One of the most unusual ones is North Korea, which does quite well. Far more people buy that book than are allowed to go to North Korea. We've done Iraq and we've done Iran, the Congo, Angola, Rwanda. We do like to choose places that are emerging from conflict because we feel that that really is a benefit to the country. They need tourists. And there's a sort of perception, oh, you know, we wouldn't want to go there. They're a war zone. And of course, they're not. You know, once they're through with the war, they need to develop the country and regain their own self-confidence, because any country emerging from a civil war is devastated morally as well as economically.
Hillary, when I think of all the places you've gone, people must just think you are reckless. You're going to all these godforsaken corners and you're a woman and you've been doing this for 40 years. I remember 40 years ago, people used to say bon voyage. Now, I don't know about in England, but in America, they say travel safely as if, you know, like, we'll pray for you. I hope you make it. What is your take on fear and how has that changed in the last 40 years when it comes to traveling and how bold people are?
You know, when people say, what got you into this? I can answer, I think quite truthfully, that when I was a child, my mother never said, take care. She was happy to let us go out all day on bicycles or walking or whatever. I mean, it was different in those days. I was brought up in the 40s and 50s. And I am lucky that this sense of adventure has persisted into my adulthood. And, you know, the thing is, I've never run into serious trouble. I've hitchhiked every decade of my life except the first one. I still hitchhike. I'm in my 70s and I do still occasionally hitchhike. And you meet the most wonderful people. And I talk a lot about the privilege of trusting people. And it's so much more enjoyable way to live, you know, and I'm lucky in that I do trust people. And I'm probably very lucky that mostly my trust has been fulfilled.
For more than 40 years, Hillary Bratt's been publishing books which are often the first and sometimes the only guidebook to an offbeat destination. Yes, I suppose this metaphor is a little obvious, but the same can be said of public radio and of this station, the one you're listening to right now. We take you where no one else does. So often, the stories you hear on public radio are simply not found elsewhere. And like Hillary Bratt, public radio isn't in this for the money. Sure, not many of us are going to buy a guidebook to North Korea or the Congo, but we all benefit when we better understand what's happening in those places. It helps us be better informed and more compassionate citizens of this planet. During this special fundraising edition of Travel with Rick Steves, we're asking you to help ensure that this off-the-beaten-path programming can keep coming to you day in and day out. In so many ways, this station is your radio home. And I can guarantee you that your financial contribution will be smartly put to work to help keep this radio station strong, strong in your community all year long. And when you call in to support public radio, you're helping to ensure that your entire community gets to come along with us on the journey. When you help fund your local station with your contribution, we all get a little more worldly. Your neighbors become better informed, and you find that you're living in a more enlightened and more thoughtful community as a result. That alone is worth a lot. Show your support by making a contribution right now to the station that brings you the world.